The reading is from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 45. Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent away the rich away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this familiar passage, may our eyes and hearts be open anew to hear what you have to say to each one of us. May we be challenged and encouraged. Amen. So, is it too early to start talking about Christmas? Are you one of those people who thinks we should only start Christmas on the 1st of December and not before? In which case, you might find today's sermon a little premature. But I'm afraid I make no apologies for asking the following question. What is your favourite Christmas song? A traditional carol, perhaps, something like Hark the Herald Angels or Once in Royal David City. When I was little, I absolutely loved Little Donkey. But I'm not sure if that was more to do with the fact that I wanted to be a donkey lady on Scarborough Beach. Or perhaps you prefer something more modern, like the From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. Whatever it is, we all have a favourite, a song we can't wait to sing each year around Christmas. But what about those first Christmas songs? As David has just explained, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at songs from the first Christmas, songs that celebrate the coming of the Lord, some more familiar than others. The song of Zechariah, who knew the birth of his son was the herald to Jesus' coming. The song of the angels announcing Jesus' birth to some very surprised shepherds. And the song of Simeon, who held Jesus the first time he was taken to the temple in Jerusalem. But this week, we're going to start with the first Christmas song, which technically wouldn't have been sung at Christmas, but it is the first song celebrating the news that the Son of God was coming to earth. And that is Mary's song. A song that a lot of us will know as the Magnificat, which comes from the Latin to magnify, the words at the beginning of the song in some Bible translations. In our Bibles, it reads, "My soul glorifies the Lord." It's Mary's song about glorifying Jesus as Lord. Even though he hasn't been born, Mary wants to sing his praise and magnify his name. It's a song that pours out her emotion at what she is being called to do, called to be Jesus' mother. I love Mary's reaction to the news. She just wants to talk to someone about it. So she heads to Elizabeth's house. Have you ever had that? Where you've been told something surprising and your immediate reaction is you want to talk to someone about it, to share your excitement, or maybe to seek reassurance that it is all going to be okay. Or maybe a bit of both. I remember getting a phone call to tell me I'd been successful in my application to be a nanny in Denmark. I was so excited and also a bit scared. I'd never planned to live abroad. What if I made a mistake? This could be a life-changing decision. So I phoned my mum. And the more we talked, the more excited I got. And then mum brought me back to earth with a bit of a bump. "You'll only get to go if you get through your finals. Don't forget you've got an exam tomorrow." But when Mary shares her exciting news with Elizabeth, she responds in the perfect way. "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And in return, Mary responds by bursting into song. She starts by praising God, It sounds just like the start of a psalm in the Old Testament, doesn't it? My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. There are echoes here of Hannah's song in the Old Testament. Hannah sang a song of praise to God following the birth of her son Samuel. The source of her joy is found in the Lord throughout the song. It is the Lord who has triumphed in Hannah's life, and so it is with Mary. There are some lovely similarities in the songs these two women sing, praising and glorifying God. You can find Hannah's song in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and I'll encourage you to read it later, but not now. Mary rejoices in the greatness of mighty God being revealed in a small baby. We tend to think of greatness in terms of big things, in big gestures. The more money you have, the bigger house you can afford, the more things you can do, go on fancy holidays, drive a flash car. If you are seen as mighty and powerful, other mighty and powerful people want to spend time with you. Think about world leaders who can have a huge amount of power, or Hollywood film stars who earn millions and have a different sort of power. They'd never want to spend time with the likes of you and me. But God is the complete opposite. His greatness is revealed through this tiny baby and through his intimacy with us, through the fact that he knows each and every one of us. He knows us by name. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 16 says, "See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands." He knows everything about our physical being. In Luke chapter 12 verse 7, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered." And he knows what we are thinking, feeling, our moments of joy and sorrow. He knows everything about us and cares deeply for us. I love Psalm 139. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." How incredible is that? Is it reassuring to know that God knows everything about you? Or is that worrying? For me, it's mostly a comfort. But then when I get things wrong, I really wish he didn't know quite so much about me. God's greatness is revealed through this small baby and his intimacy with us. A complete reversal of what we might expect. And not only that this greatness comes from a mighty, powerful God, Mary praises that in her song. Verse 50 reads, "His mercy extends to those who fear him." It's an odd phrase, isn't it? Does God really want us to be fearful of him? Well, yes, but not in the sense of being scared of God, but to stand in awe of him, knowing his power and might. And in knowing what he does for us means we revere him, we worship him and choose to follow him. And in doing so, we want to live in harmony with him, that we want to live in ways that seek to please him. Not because we'll get a reward or we feel obligated to, but because we want to live in a way that pleases God and glorifies him. It doesn't mean we will always get him right, but we know God is a merciful God who will forgive us when we get it wrong and turn back to him in sorrow. Mary continues to sing about this great and mighty God in verses 51 and 52, where she sings that he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. It's like he's a warrior who does immense things. He has scattered the proud in their inmost thoughts. How many times when we think we can do things our own way, in our own strength, does it go horribly wrong? We should bring God glory for the successes in our lives and not just turn to him in times of trouble. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. We only have to look in the Old Testament to see time and again God's power and might working to bring down a king or a nation. Mary is painting a picture of a powerful God, indeed a mighty God who destroys the mighty and the powerful in the world. And then comes a wonderful word, but. In spite of all his power and might, God has lifted up the humble, those who are modest, unassuming, the nobodies of this world. They are the ones God lifts up. Mary, a young, innocent girl from a small town in the north of Israel, an insignificant girl from an insignificant place, is chosen to be Jesus' mother. God turns the world and its way of thinking upside down. He completely reverses what people expect. People expected the Messiah to come as a king, born in a royal palace with riches and great things. But God does the complete opposite. His son would be born in a stable to this young, innocent girl who had no wealth or riches. And right at the beginning of the song, Mary praises God because he is mindful of her. She knows she is lowly and humble, that God could have chosen someone rich or famous, but he chose her, a young, poor woman, to be Jesus' mother. And that's why her song focuses on the greatness of God and rejoices in him, because he has taken care of her, and he will continue to take care of her. Mary is insignificant in the eyes of the world. She knows there'll be those around her who will judge her for getting pregnant outside of marriage. But she knows she is valuable in the eyes of God. He has been mindful of her. That is, he cares for her. And for that, Mary rejoices, for she knows she is not alone in all this, that God will be with her always. God makes surprising decisions. We should be ready if he calls us to do something we don't expect or think we are not good enough for. Mary rejoiced in what God was calling her to do, even though she knew society would look down on her. She trusts God completely, knowing she is part of his bigger plan. When we feel God is calling us to do something we think would be too hard, or we think that people will think strange if we do it, do we shy away, not do it? Or do we trust in God, knowing that he knows us and cares for us, and what we are being called to do is all part of his plan? If we know that, we should not only be obedient to God's call, but we should rejoice and praise God no matter what he has called us to do, because we know he is mindful of us and cares for us too. Mary's praise continues in verse 53. He has filled the hungry with good things. That is, both spiritually and physically. God provides everything we need, and we should remember that. But we also need to be hungry for it. I love the picture this paints. God won't ever force himself on us. We choose to follow him. But it's more than that. We need to be hungry. Hungry to know more about him. Hungry to learn what it means to follow him. Hungry to want to change our lives, to live as he would want us to live obedient to his will. Without that hunger, we drift away. Have you ever had that feeling after a lovely meal that you're so full that you think you'll never, ever have to eat again? You can't even begin to think about food, never mind what you'll have for breakfast tomorrow. Well, that's a bit how we can be in our Christian lives, particularly when things are going well. When it's going well, we have enough of everything materially. We have enough money to buy what we need, a nice house, a car, clothes, a job, food. It's easy to think we can get away with living without God. We think we don't need him in our lives, so our hunger for him disappears, and we drift away and do our own thing, usually until something goes wrong, and then we turn back to him. But perhaps you're sat there feeling that materially you do have everything, a lovely family, a good job, a nice house. You may not be incredibly wealthy, but are comfortable and have everything you think you need. And yet there is still an emptiness, a hunger. Without God, we are still hungry. There is something missing from our lives. Perhaps the phrase, money can't buy you happiness, really resonates with you. God wants us to follow him, and that may mean giving up some things in our lives today, changing the way we live, not being so materialistic or chasing the next promotion, or being so busy that we can't help and serve him in church. But if we choose to follow Jesus, we should want to change how we live. that hunger in us should lead us to wanting to be obedient, wanting to live our lives that bring God glory. Because when we choose to follow Jesus, we gain something so much greater than we can ever have in this earth. We gain eternal life with our Father in heaven. If you're already a Christian, perhaps you're feeling that your hunger for God has gone a little. Perhaps you're feeling a little proud of yourself, that you're mighty and important. And that's where this song is such a helpful reminder to us of what happens when we go our own way, when we turn from God. He scatters the proud. And he brings us down so that we can simply come before him. We can humbly come back to God. And we do that knowing he is a merciful and forgiving God. And he cares for us. At the end of her song, in verses 54 to 55, Mary reminds us that God not only remembers her and us as individuals, but he is mindful of his people as a whole. He cares for us as a body of Christians. Mary is part of God's plan for all his people, and she reminds us by linking back to God's promises to Abraham. All the way through the Old Testament, God tells his people, "I am remembering you. I will fulfill the promises I have made to you." Ending with the promise in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Mary giving birth to Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. God always keeps his promises, and we know that when we become proud and go and do our own thing, only to return to God humbly, seeking his forgiveness, God always remembers us as individuals and people as a whole and forgives us. We know that because he is here keeping his promise, sending his son to die for us on the cross, no fancy palace or rich parent for this king, no, a poor, humble young girl who, when faced with this huge challenge, responds by rejoicing and praising God for what he has done and will do. What is your image of God? Is it one who is distant and uncaring, a mighty, powerful God who destroys rather than upholds? That's not the God I know or the one that Mary sings about here. This God is one who cares for each one of us, one who lifts up the humble. I know there are times when I have felt distant from God, but when I look back, I see that it's me who has turned away, me who has put the distance between us. Perhaps that's how you are feeling distant from this great and mighty God. You can't see how he cares for you, how he's being mindful of you. If you're not yet a Christian and you may feel this, who is this powerful God? How is he caring? Well, Mary's song reminds us of how caring this mighty God is. He chose this lowly girl to be the mother of Jesus. And here she rejoices in that. And in how God always keeps his promises from the time of Abraham to now. If you want to know more, then join the Christianity Explored course or talk to someone who is a Christian. If you are a Christian and feeling distant from this powerful God, perhaps it's time to think about why you feel like that. Have you become proud, thinking you can live without God, that you no longer hunger for him? Can I encourage you to come back to God, rejoice in all he has done for you, know that he cares for you. Pray about it. Read your Bible. Chat with Christian friends to help reignite that hunger for God, that emptiness that only he can fill. As we look ahead to the next few weeks of busyness, getting ready for Christmas, and all the chaos involved in that, let's take time to be with our mighty and caring God. Let's not lose sight of him in all the preparations. Let's take time to rejoice and glorify God for all he has done and does for us. Mary's heart is bursting with joy as she rejoices in God, who is not only powerful and mighty, but who is a mindful God, who knows and cares for each one of us, And so our hearts and voices should do the same this Advent and Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, may our souls magnify your name, and may our spirits rejoice in you, God our Saviour. Help us to hunger for you, knowing that only you can fill us completely. Help us remember that you are mindful of us. Whatever is happening in our lives, we know you care for us. When things go wrong, when we become proud, may we remember to return humbly to you, our merciful, forgiving God. Thank you for Mary's obedience to your call. May we rejoice in whatever you call us to do, and may our lives glorify your name. Amen.